This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Tom Sell. Tom is with Combest Sell & Associates. We're going to talk Farm Bill in just a moment. That's coming up. First off, let's talk significant topsoil moisture surplus for some states. Brad Rippey is a meteorologist with USDA and explains.
20 to 40% surplus topsoil moisture in states like Illinois, Arkansas, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Missouri, and Louisiana. Top of that list is Illinois at 38% surplus, not too far behind Arkansas at 30%. These are a lot of the areas that had the heavy weather, the severe thunderstorms, and the significant rainfall just within the last several days. We also see lingering wetness in parts of the Northeast. We have topsoil moisture greater than 20% surplus in seven northeastern states.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Tom Sell. Tom is manager of Combest Sell & Associates. And Tom, as always, great to have you back on the air.
And it's good to hear your voice, and always good to talk to you, Tony.
Well, let's kind of jump in here. Always find it interesting. I don't know if I remember the day that you launched Combest Sell & Associates, but I definitely remember the time leading up to it and after the launch. And the first name in Combest Sell & Associates is a former chairman of the House Ag Committee and a co-author of a farm bill. And here we are talking about another farm bill, but this one, 2024. What are you seeing happening right now?
Well, I'm kind of excited. I'm glad you mentioned the name Combest. Larry Combest, of course, served honorably for, was elected to 10 terms, was chair of the Ag Committee. Kind of the peak, the culmination of his work was, one, a crop insurance rewrite in 2000 and the O2 Farm Bill, which really kind of restored the safety net under the freedom to farm concept. And really, we've been living off that farm bill since that time. And one great thing about that farm bill is it allowed for dynamic change within the U.S. agricultural industry. But certainly, I think when you look at this farm bill, perhaps to the greatest extent since that O2 farm bill was done, there's just a call from the countryside and a need kind of update some of the measures of when support is needed from the federal government. Obviously, we've spent more than $75 billion in ad hoc, kind of in addition to the farm bill's type of spending since the 18 farm bill was passed. So that's kind of a proof and a verdict that the 18 farm bill didn't meet all the needs of the rural economy and support it the way that members of Congress wanted to. And so really the goal of this farm bill is to kind of take that ad hoc spending and build it into better, more reliable, more fair programs that are going to support the infrastructure and support the industry going forward as this hungry world continues to grow. So to meet the needs of the future.
You know, Tom, we have got the initial version, if you will, I guess what would we call it, a manager's mark on the House side and Senate side. The chairwoman, Debbie Stabenow, is ready to go. This, could we really get a farm bill done in 24?
Well, I've been the one guy saying, I don't know if I'm the one guy, but I guess I'm known for kind of being a wild-eyed optimist at times. Sometimes I do that just to keep hope alive when other people are kind of, you know, heaping dead bodies onto the wagon. It reminds me of that old movie where the body's like, I'm not quite dead yet. I tend to be the voice of those who want to keep the hope alive. But I really think the prospects are good for this year. Congress is trending in the right way. Speaker Mike Johnson is, despite all the challenges, which are many, getting things done. The Ag Committee has a history and a legacy of working together in bipartisan ways over difficult issues. It never is easy. It's always easier in the rearview mirror than it is in the current. But they've always found a way in the past. And I tend to believe they'll find a way this year. It'll be different from any other scenario that's ever been laid out. But the good news is between D.T. Thompson, Debbie Stabenow, you have experienced players in Congress who are very sincere and very very outright. You know, they are saying it. So when they're not the ones diminishing expectations, I think we can take some hope in that, that there is actually a real credible hope that we can get this done this year.
Now, you mentioned the O2 farm bill and crop insurance as part of that. Crop insurance professionals meeting recently in Kansas City had a chance to be there. What was the tone like? What was the overall feeling of those who were in attendance?
Oh, that's fun. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yeah, the CEPA organization is remarkable. It's kind of the top crop insurance agents from around the land, from every corner of our nation. I guess a couple things really stood out to me. One, just their reflections on kind of the current state of the economy and the challenges that their producers are facing. You know, even this year, the crop insurance price elections, the amount that you can cover is significantly less than it was last year. For corn producers, it's about 20% less. It's all based on the market and the market prices. But certainly the kind of palpable feel around that room. And we had many, you know, kind of government officials there, the chief economist of the USDA, Farm Aid Administrator, representatives from Congress. The palpable feel around that room was, man, we need to get this done. If there is any way possible, the ag economy, the producers who put so much at risk every year, they need tools at their fingertips to make sure they can go year to year. And there's a lot of stress in the countryside. So that was the one big takeaway. But then also, you know, I think in this farm bill, crop insurance is going to be a big part. Again, the members of Congress who were there were saying, you know, when you contrast ad hoc assistance, which is always kind of poorly measured and way late, you know, relative to when the disaster occurs, it's such a contrast to the very reliable, known, you know, bankable products that we know in crop insurance. And so I think members of Congress, and certainly I think the sentiment from the countryside is, look, if we're going to get rid of ad hoc disasters, that's great, but put it into something that's very reliable. And I think crop insurance is that horse that Congress is going to look to improve the outlook for producers.
As you're talking about this, I'm kind of thinking about the importance of, we can grow crops all day long, but we have to have the ability to sell those crops, and in the past have been able to rely on great export markets. I just kind of find it interesting over the last few weeks, hearings on the 25 FY budget, whether we're talking about USTR, EPA, or it even came up in the transportation. How often ag is at the forefront of the conversation by the members of Congress, whether they're Republican or Democrat? Is that showing us that there is bedrock support for the ag industry?
I think so, Tony. It's a great question. I'll say that's been kind of my work for the last, you know, 25 years, trying to build an appreciation for all that agriculture does for our you know, individual lives, but also for our economy, for the culture of our great nation, kind of this entrepreneurial spirit that farmers bring to the table every day. So I think there is a bedrock appreciation. And you get to issues like trade or energy, where ag has always been a big part of our national trade, our international trade profile. Increasingly, it's becoming more of a part of the conversation in the energy sector as well. You know, it's always been that to an extent. You know, food is the most basic form of energy, providing that kind of caloric content that we all need to be creative and think of great things. So it is a very natural part of all the conversation. There's always been some level of misunderstanding about the role that federal policies play in it, and that's been our job, is to just try and help the members of Congress, the representatives in government, just understand all that goes into getting from a seed to a marketable product internationally, and some of it builds back into the economies of local towns like Florida to Texas or wherever you are. And that this story of ag is remarkable. It is truly one of the great heroes of our economy and our culture. All that it does to just build communities throughout the heartland of the U.S. that have truly made this nation great. So, yeah, you just asked me kind of a bread and butter question, but I do think, to answer your question plainly, I think there is a greater appreciation for all that agriculture does today than there was 20, 25 years ago. I think we have a great, strong basis of support to get this farm bill done. The last farm bill passed at the end in the conference report with more than 84% affirmative votes in both the House and the Senate. And I think if done right, you know, following the lead and working with G.T. Thompson and Debbie Stabenow, we can exceed those margins this year.
Okay, Tom, just a couple of minutes left here, and you've already mentioned the work that you do to help tell that story, but let's bring it back to the farm level. What is a message that you could give back to those in production ag that they could be doing as we work our way towards this new farm bill? Is there anything they can be doing?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, first and foremost, I have to, the honest answer is do what you do well, because it's so critically important to our nation. But it is important for everyone, citizens of all types, to get engaged in kind of civic organizations, grassroots organizations that help to tell the story, right? So not every farmer has time to fly off to Washington, D.C. and exercise their First Amendment right. That's why they have groups like the Farm Bureau or the Southwest Council of Agribusiness or the Plains Cotton Growers or the Midwest Corn Growers. You know, those kind of organizations, those kind of grassroots organizations are so incredibly important in this debate. There are plenty of pundits out there that raise money and engage in these fights in Washington, D.C., largely using scare tactics, right, to raise funds to say we're going to fight some fight that people don't really understand. But in our modern days of crowdsource funding and that kind of stuff, scare tactics tend to work pretty well. And so I think ag has the advantage because these are bona fide, credible organizations that speak for those that are truly members and representative of what they're doing. But that's why it's so very important, even these days, to be really engaged wherever you can, wherever you can give the time and the resources to be a part of those organizations that are out in Washington, D.C. and in state capitals all over the nation, doing the work of representing this kind of incredibly important grassroots sector of our economy that is agriculture.
He's a farm policy expert and an all-around cheerleader for ag. Tom Sell is manager of Combest Sell & Associates on today's Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this summer? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have a tree and post puller that will handle trees up to 3 inches in diameter. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to get the skid steer attachments to make your job easier.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Tom Sell with Combest Sell & Associates.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. You're listening to our comprehensive look at agribusiness news, markets, and weather. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
For this past fiscal year, the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS, was given an extra infusion of $2.8 billion to work with farmers on soil and water conservation projects.
45,000 contracts. That is the most that we've ever had in the history of our almost 90-year history.
NRCS Chief Terry Cosby told a group of farm broadcasters in Washington that for this fiscal year, instead of $2.8 billion for conservation work,
we're talking a little over $5.5 billion that's out there in the offices, in the field offices, and we're going to have another tremendous year.
Biggest challenge is having enough trained people in the field to handle all the projects. Cosby says his agency is partnering with outside organizations to help out.
If you name an organization, we probably have some type of agreement with them for their expertise.
Meanwhile, Cosby says NRCS is reaching out to farmers big and small to let them know about USDA's conservation programs because, as he puts it,
every acre counts.
Gary Crawford, Washington.